And you're listening to WHTC in Holland. Time now for Talk of the Town, the program in which you, the listeners, participate with your telephone calls. I announced early that we did not have a guest today, but we do. We have, actually, we have three guests in the studio. Coolian Godfrey, and I guess this young lady works for them. Is that right?
Actually, okay. Yes, you're right, Juke. Kelly is with us, and she is actually on leave from West Point, so she's
really?
Interning with us for part
Absolutely.
Of the summer. Yes. So Kelly plays tennis in West Point, so she's a wonderful lady helping us out and done a lot of things in this area and just wanting to learn. So she came to us and said, hey, are you looking for somebody or could you use somebody? So we're helping her teach the business to her from the
okay.
ground up.
Are you on spring vacation?
No, medical leave.
Medical leave. Okay. All right. All right, what are we going to talk about today?
Well, we're going to talk about Juke moving forward with widows. You know, there's a lot of help that widows need, and it's a lot of frustration being a widow because all of a sudden you're left out in the cold sometime and not knowing what to do. And, you know, some of the statistics of widows are just unbelievable. You know, the average age of widows right now is 59.4. That's the average age. Can you imagine that? That is just
yeah.
unbelievable. You know, 80% women are single at their death. You know, at you know just 80%. So at their death, they're single. 80% of the women.
Yeah.
You know, that's
something.
Just you know, it's just really something. Here's some other statistics.
Well, I like the statistic yeah. too. Is that 70% of wives outlive their husbands?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. And here's another interesting one. It's you know, we always talk about, you know, do you have enough to live on? And that's really a crucial thing. The crucial thing is the second spouse to die, the last one to die is the age today is 92. So, you know, people are always in a hurry to retire at 62. And then, you know, do you have enough money for one of you to live 30 years? 30 years worth of 3% inflation is really, you need double at the end to what you have today to live. And so you, then you put in a widow who sometimes, you know, doesn't have the thought process of what do I do now? And that's what we're going to talk about today is what do you do now once mm-hmm. that spouse dies? And it's the guy that usually goes first. So that's what we're going to talk about
yeah.
today. Lots to talk about.
Of course, it depends on how you want to live.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. That's how you want to live. So a lot to talk about.
Okay. Well, let's start off here with some of the beginning. Organize.
Yeah. I one of the things that we find out that a lot of widows, or I should say husband and wife, this is very common, is that they have finances. One person knows where it all is, another person
right.
kind of knows where it is, but doesn't know what's in it, you know. And we like to hand out a financial organizer to couples or single to keep organized. Where is their current investments held? Where are their, you know, insurance? Do they have life insurance through their employer? Do they have a 401k through their employer? You know, wills, trusts, you know, all those different documents that are very important to keep. You know, where are they and what do they mean?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, even yesterday was a traumatic day for a lot of widows because usually, again, the husband takes care of the 1099s, the W-2s that they've received if they're still working.
That's a good point, Jack.
No,
yeah.
it is. I mean,
yeah,
it's,
tax
it's,
season.
It's
yeah.
So, you know, the husband always collected the files, and sometimes the lady says, geez, I don't know what to give to the CPA. I don't know what to give to the accountant. I don't know what to give to the person that does our taxes, and they sometimes omit stuff. And they didn't even know what they need. So, you know, part of that organization is, one, making sure that when you meet with people, you always include the spouse to discuss stuff. And here's what you need. Here's how you go about it. And that's what Carrie was saying. Part of that organization is helping people understand how to get through this process. And this isn't everybody. I don't want to say every widow doesn't know what to do for tax day. I'm not trying to say that at all. But many do not.
Right.
And that's what we're trying to get to, is help people be organized. And, you know, a lot of time it's always a big rush. You know, when a spouse dies, it's a big rush to do stuff.
Well, I think, what happens there, what makes it a big rush, is the emotion that kicks in. There's a loss.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And what do I need to do now kicks in. And all of a sudden, you can sometimes rush through things. And like Jack was saying, you know, tax season, you shouldn't feel rushed. Even if you're something recently happened and tax season's within a week or a couple weeks, you can always file an extension. You can always push that back to slow down the process to make sure that things are done right.
And, you know, one of the most important things is get a calendar organized. You know, get one of those big calendars and write down some of those dates that you need to make sure things are done. And a lot of retirees, Juke, need to do estimated taxes because they do have a lot of money, and they forget about if you don't withhold when you're getting your payments from your IRAs or other, you know, other mechanisms of pensions today are taxed. If you make over a certain amount of money, and sometimes people fall short, and then they could be penalty in taxes if you don't withhold enough.
Right.
So sometimes you need to work with that CPA to say, geez, I remember my husband talking to them about, you know, doing estimated taxes. What are estimated taxes? The government always wants you to pay forward. And if
yeah.
if you don't pay enough forward, then they're going to want taxes and penalty at the end because you didn't pay in enough.
Right.
And you can get away with that for 1 year, but not 2 years in a row.
Right.
And so, you know, just have a calendar there and write down stuff. You know, April 15th, of course, is the big day. But then do you estimate your taxes quarterly, monthly? What do all those things mean? So a calendar is always an important thing that you look at and you think about it. But lots of widows get rushed. And, you know, they're angry because their spouse died. They're emotionally drained. You know, how am I going to live without them? What do I need to do? And not many people are prepared for a death of a spouse, and I'm not saying you always can be prepared because it is traumatic, but you can have people help you get organized, and that's part of it. And
right.
Sometimes if you're organized as a couple, guess what? You're organized as a widow. And, you know, that's really, you know, it's really something. So, you know, one of the things, and I know we only have a half hour, Juke, so we have a book today. It says Moving Forward on Your Own. And if somebody wants to call in with a question.
Let's make it caller number 3.
Well, they need to call in with a question.
Okay.
So the first one in with a question, it's a great book. It's a financial guidebook for widows. It's called Moving Forward on Your Own. We're willing to give this book away for the first caller. We'll leave it at the desk. It's a great book to help widows. So people want to call in, Juke. So that's one of the things. So
okay.
Well, and, you know,
395-1450, by the way.
As you're thinking the same way I am, Juke, here. Get the number out there. You know, along with being organized is, there should be a list of people that you need to contact when this happens. Whether you're a widow, divorce, you need to reach out and contact your attorney and go through the will, the trust, the health care power of attorney. You need to go through all those things at the time of somebody passing away or a divorce or being single again. You know, attorney is one of the most important things. You have an attorney that should be your estate planning specialist, the one that has done the estate. And you should have one that if it's a divorce situation that works with you on the divorce, usually you have two different specialists in that area. You know, a lot of people just think, oh, where is my trust? Where is my will? You need to find those things. You need to have a copy. I know that Kim and I not only keep a copy in a firebox at our home, we also have one kept with my brother-in-law and sister-in-law. And we also have a copy with my father-in-law and his wife, just in case something happens to both Kim
right.
and I, for what happens with where does the money go, where do the kids go, who's going to take care of what. We just have copies with people that we know would take care of it upon us going.
But, you know, one of the things is getting prepared. You know, it's that's what Carrie, you know, is talking about is having these documents is one thing, but what do these documents say? And sometimes these wills or trusts are so old, they have outlived what they intended to do 20, 30 years ago because you have more kids or you have more grandchildren.
We have a call.
Okay, let's go.
Good morning. You're on the line with our guest.
Yes, hello. Question about income that you receive from a trust. Is that taxable?
Yeah.
The income that you receive from the trust is taxable, yes.
Yes.
What about is that the same as the distribution from the trust?
Well, distributions and income are two different things. If you take it as income, that means the trust has generated it. So the trust has generated income, so that would be one and the same.
Yeah, but if the person who puts this money in a trust and then they die,
yep,
and they split it all up,
yep,
and it's sent out in a check, is that check taxable?
Nope.
As the income on your tax return, or do you not?
It depends on, is the estate over $5
million? No.
So if the estate's over $5 million, then no. You could get a step-up in basis. So let's just say, you know, they have stocks, it's highly appreciated, you get a step-up in basis. You're talking about distribution of trust assets, totally different than earning income off the trust. So that's going to be distributed with no taxes if the estate's under $5
million. Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, back to the will and trust. I mean, it's important that when people are alive, they have the right language in each one of these, because, you know, we're talking about, you have more grandchildren, you know, sometimes you've remarried.
I think the most common thing here is that people often ask, how often should I redo a trust? And usually good points are when getting married, when buying a home, when having children. When there's been a death in the family, when there's been major life events, those are good triggers for you to go out there and update your trust. It's not having to redo your whole trust.
No,
it's usually just amendments to it. But it's always good to review at certain major life events.
So, you know, we're talking with Juke today. This is Jack Godfrey. I'm here with Carrie Cooley, and Kelly's here listening as well today.
One of the things I think they should do, a widow should make sure that she has established credit.
Yes, yes.
Very important.
Yes, yeah, that's another good one. And it's, you know, I was leading down the path of, you know, once you get to be a certain age, especially if your spouse dies early, people tend to remarry.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we are big advocates of a thing called a prenuptial agreement. Because, you know, whose house do you live in?
Right.
Then it's like, who gets the house when another spouse dies?
Right.
So, you know, if you're in a situation, so you move into the guy's house in a second marriage, well, he owns the house, and, you know, we're married, it's really happy, then he dies first. Well, then who gets to keep the house? It's
right.
In his name, his trust. Does she get lifelong lease to live in there? That would be in the prenup. Who gets his money? It's in a spousal situation by law, unless he signs off. She's got to get, or unless she signs up, she's got to get his IRA. She's got to get the money.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot of things that you need to talk about when you're alive to set your spouse who is living up correctly. And one of the things is only one person is get Social Security, not two. So now sometimes your income is cut in half by only one person getting Social Security.
Yeah, and now the good point there is of the two, You get the higher amount.
Yeah, you get the higher amount.
But, you know, your income is definitely cut back.
Yeah.
And, you know, you talked about different avenues there with, you know, income and spouses. Jack's talking about beneficiaries. You need to make sure that the beneficiaries on your retirement accounts, on your life insurance, anything that you need to have a beneficiary on, you need to make sure that they get changed or corrected upon a death, upon, you know, a divorce and being remarried. Those are instances where you need to go and change those things. And there, a lot of times they don't get changed. And you may have your old spouse on there, and something happens to you. Guess what? That's irrevocable. You
right.
cannot change
right.
that. You know, another important person to meet, you know, and talk with the widow is the CPA. To sit down with a CPA and plan. You know, I sit down with my CPA at least once a year to plan out this year what I need to do, what I need to withhold for my taxes, and so I don't have any big surprises at the end of the year. You know, what laws have changed? What can I take advantage of putting money away to avoid taxes on? Is there something that I need to spend money on business-wise to reduce my taxable bill for this year? Those are all things that are good planning things to sit down with your CPA, and especially when you're widowed, and going through those things just to make sure that you're planning the year out right.
So just remind listeners, 395-1450, you can call in today with your question. If you're a widow, we're going to give you a book called Moving Forward on Your Own. So 395-1450. Widows do, you know, go through stages. You know, the first one is grief. You know, you have a spouse that dies, the guy dies, you've been with him for a long time. It's that grieving process.
Yeah.
And sometimes there's vulnerability that occurs there that you make hasty decisions that you really wouldn't have thought about.
There's a rule of thumb that says don't do anything for a year.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's, well, I mean, certain things you got to do.
Yeah.
You know, you got to do, you know, it's sometimes the spouse doesn't always know
don't
where.
Don't make any big steps.
Yeah, big steps. Yeah, big steps. You know, change your home, sell your home, move to a different place. Get remarried. That's some of the biggest things.
I mean, that might come first.
Well, yeah. Well, sometimes guys like to have somebody take care of, and they're getting married relatively quick. But you know, so it's that grieving process that takes a while to go through. And you know, don't do some of those immediate things. But then you got to get, you know, once you get over that period, it's the growth yourself. What do you do yourself to now live on? You know, start your life over by yourself, and that's for a lot of people. That's a hard thing.
Oh, it is.
That's really a hard thing. You know, my dad died at 64. My mom milked cows by herself for 5 years.
Mm. She didn't make you do it, Jack?
Well, yeah, I helped her, but I mean, but it's one of those things that she lived on because you have to say, you know. But you know, my mom and dad farmed together, but still, to milk cows by yourself for 5 years, that's a lot.
It is.
And you know, she knew she had to move on. You know, that's yeah, pretty tough. So, you know, sometimes you got to be tough. And lots of people are still working at 65 or 70 today. Look at you, Juke, still working and having a good time. You know, some people are so bent on retiring so early, and then sometimes they're unable to live when that one spouse dies because income is cut in half. So some of that thing, you know, things that Carrie and I do for people is the financial plans that we put together for a couple. It's a couple. Is to look forward of what are you going to have in the future with one income. That's so important for widows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with the financial plan, it really helps lay out a nice roadmap for the couple, but also put the what ifs in there. What if my spouse dies at this age? What will my income be, and what do I need to do going forward? And so those are different things. You know, Jack's talking about, you know, grief and, you know, some of the stages we go through of becoming a widow. And the next stage is, you know, growth. You grow and start to go out there and expand, meet new friends, get involved in different things, meet new people. And, you know, part of that growth is just really taking ownership of the responsibilities that you have. And I think of my mom and dad, even though both are still living, my dad did pretty much all the finances. My mom would have a checkbook and that was it. Now, since my dad had a stroke, his capabilities have been reduced, and my mom's taking all this over. And at first, my mom didn't want to do it. She wanted to give it all to my brother and I, which my brother lives in Phoenix. I live here. My parents are in Northwest Iowa. And, yeah, we could have done it, and the banks and everybody, we could have done it via the Internet. But Carl and I really encouraged my mom and maybe pushed her a little bit, saying, Mom, we're not going to do this. You need to do this. And, you know, it's having my mom step up and take ownership of doing this. And even though she's not a widow, she had to take over a lot of the responsibilities. And that's just a stage that she's going through. She's going through a growth stage right now of learning a lot of the stuff. And we're helping her through it, but we're just not going to say we're going to do it for her. We want her to do it.
Yeah, a lot of things, too, is, you know, you want the widow to feel safe and secure. Safe and secure is always those things, is you're going to be all right. It's just getting through that process of feeling all right. But then, you know, sometimes widows have a lot of money, and they don't realize it. And widows sometimes never think they have enough money. Never think they have enough money. And then, you know, you got to get to the process of, you know, your own finality. You know, it's when you're a widow, it's like, well, I will die someday, and who's going to take care of my money when I'm gone? And, you know, we try to help people figure out, how can I give money away while I'm alive? How can I have my grandkids say, thank you for helping me with college. Thank you for putting money into my retirement program. Thank you for giving us a deposit on our first home. Because it's important for widows to be, you know, to have a great family and pass on the values and talk more to your grandkids and your kids about the old times. And, you know, in today's world, we don't talk enough, Juke.
We don't talk enough.
And text messaging about what you ought to be doing is not good enough.
I haven't learned to do it yet.
Yeah. I mean, but it's one of those things is, you know, we don't sit down with our grandparents enough.
No.
And talk about family values. And Grandma, what was it like when you grew up? You know, Grandpa, what was it like when you grew up?
Yeah.
And, you know, what was it like with your brothers and sisters? We forget about that. We don't videotape enough. So widows, you know, it's getting through that process of saying, you know, I'm going to die soon. I need to start passing down my values. And what are those things? So values are important.
Yeah, so it's just not about money.
Oh, no.
We enjoy and really encourage doing family planning meetings. And, you know, have Grandpa and Grandma, all the kids, and even have the grandkids there to sit down and go through the process of how this money is going to pass on from generation to generation and do it tax efficiently. So whether you're a couple, a widow, there are good strategies out there to pass it on and avoid a lot of taxes and do it in a smart way. Or if you don't have things set up right, you could end up a lot of taxes paid before it ends up going to the kids. You know, and Jack, we still need to give away this book. You know,
yeah, nobody's calling in. 395-1450. It's like we're going to have to give it away on our radio show this Saturday. Yeah.
Well, we'll have to give away two maybe. But 395-1450, call in. We're giving you a wonderful book away, and it's called Moving Forward on Your Own, a financial guidebook for widows. So if you're a widow out there and would like this book, give us a call here.
Okay, and why don't I take a moment out for some weather? Holland's Hometown Forecast, brought to you by the Wooden Shoe Restaurant. Have you tried one of their giant homemade cinnamon rolls lately? Well, let's get to the weather. Partly sunny today with a high of 50, and tonight cloudy with a low of 37. And tomorrow, a mix of sun and clouds with a high of 54. And then Friday morning, clouds followed by afternoon sunshine and a high of 49. Right now it is 31 degrees, and we have someone on the line, I believe. Good morning. You're on the line.
Good morning. I'd be interested in acquiring one of those books.
Okay. Jack,
okay. What's your question? Yeah. What's your question?
My question is why more? I guess the concern is when the tax advisors, like for income tax.
Yes.
They make it so complicated. Should you have a financial advisor for that, especially after the death of a spouse?
I think that's a great question.
No, it's a great question. And then, before you answer the question, you know, so we're gonna take your name off air. Juke's gonna get your name off air, and you come down the radio station, pick up the book, but we'll get your name off the air. So hang on after we close out the show, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Great.
So go ahead.
Yeah.
Answer the question.
The question, you know, dealing with, you know, CPA, there should be really a team in place. You should work with a CPA, definitely, but you should also work with the financial advisor that you feel comfortable with, and also, you know, have an attorney that you feel comfortable with for doing dispersing of the estate or has handled the will. So it's really not just one person. It's a team of people that need to work together to help you through this process.
But going back to your question, it's absolutely right. I mean, we go to a lot of CPA meetings and say, okay, here's where the income's coming from, because a lot of things once the husband dies, and we're talking about widows today, is where am I going to get income? Am I going to have to pay taxes on this? So, you know, we spend time with the CPA sitting around the table and say, these are the implications of doing this. And sometimes people they forget about, if you have a highly appreciated asset and you sell that, you have to pay tax.
Right.
And so you really want to know the consequences of being in a hurry to do stuff. And lots of times, you know, well, my kids need money. Well, I understand that, but do you understand that you're going to pay $10,000 in taxes if you sell this asset to give it to your kid? So when you sell $10,000 and you got to pay 25% in taxes, it takes a lot away of what you give away.
Right.
So the unintended consequences of not understanding your taxes is huge today. And we have a two or three of those every year. Jack, why am I paying high taxes? Well, do you remember you took out $30,000? And oh, yeah, I remember. Well, it's one of those things that you need to have your financial advisor help you with the CPA to get through some of those unintended consequences or things you forgot about versus just, well, sell anything you want. No, you have to plan these things.
You know, Jack, I was thinking about giving away this book. We could just take her name, put her name on the book, and she can come down to the station and get it.
Well, that's what I said, but we'll need to keep her confidentiality.
Yeah.
We'll take it off the air.
Okay. All right. Sounds good.
Okay.
Other questions? Yeah. So please hang on. And other questions that we can answer for you?
Well, I'm not sure if you can answer this one, but maybe it has more to do with taxes. But if you have a home and you decide to sell it, is there taxes that you have to claim if you sell that home, or is there a time frame that you're exempt?
Well, I think you still get that one-time exclusion.
Yeah, you do
is
get
it one time. That's
yeah.
my question.
Yeah, yeah. yeah.
One-time
exclusion
one-time
is still
over
yep.
a number of years.
Yep, still available.
Okay, but it's one time.
Yep, one-time exclusion. Yep.
Okay. All right. And that, again, is probably something that you don't want to make a hasty decision.
No, you do not want to make a hasty decision. Nope.
You should do it within a year, or if you should maybe wait a year after the spouse passes away.
Well, I mean, there's no time frame. You know, it depends if you still own your home, you like your home, you've got it paid for. Homes are going up in value tremendously right now.
Right.
Tremendously.
But then there's a tax impact you have to consider.
Well, you don't, because you get that one-time exclusion. But if you move forward and say, I'm going to buy something else, then you carry that tax basis to the next home.
And if it's a secondary home, then they're probably...
There'll be taxes, tax. Yes. There'll be taxes there in a secondary home, not your primary residence. So hang on a second. We'll get your name.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay.
Duke, we're coming to the end. Hey, our show this weekend, Saturday, listening to Carrie and I, is going to be Guide to the Market. So we're going to review the first 3 months of the year. And we've had kind of a rocky 3 months here, so we're going to be talking about that.
Yeah, it will be a good show, and we're going to be live, because we've been off for the last 2 weeks.
Yes, yeah. So yeah. I can get your name.
Yeah,
I mean, that's one of the things that we'll be talking about, and, you know, as we spend a lot of time with widows, and, you know, it's just one of the most important things. You're always available to call us in our office at 616-931-1223, and we're willing to take your calls anytime to help you get through this planning process, and believe me, we're in no rush.
Oh, exactly, and, you know, as you go through this process, you need to think about what the person that was just on the line with us, you know, there's different benefits that need to be collected at becoming a widow. You know, you need to think of the Social Security, Jack, as you mentioned earlier, because if you're both collecting, you're going to go down to one. You need to file with Social Security. You need to have, you know, death, marriage certificate, Social Security numbers, all those documents in place. You know, life insurance, you need to go out there and collect. A common life insurance that often gets missed, even though it's very little life insurance, is, you know, banks automatically put life insurance on your savings or checking accounts. It may be $2,000 or $5,000. So there's a lot of different things. Pensions, 401ks, all need to be looked at. So,
and most important, Duke, final question. I know we're coming to the end here.
You're out of time.
All right.
Yeah.
Thanks, Duke.
Got to wind it up.
All right.
So anybody that didn't... find out what they wanted to find out can call your office, of course.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And
we'll
join you on Saturday morning.
Yep, Saturday morning. You bet.
Yep. And you'll do it all over again,
yep.
Okay?
Thanks, Duke.
Thank
all right.
you.
Thanks, Duke.
Yep.